Hello, this is Radio Camp. And recently I have been to Disney World, and this Radio Camp is about sounds from Disney World. We have a documentary about how these sound effects are made at Disney World and stuff. So here we go. And I hope you like it.
In the old doll ring.
A cartoon without sound is hardly a cartoon at all.
Or me.
Since 1935, Jimmy McDonald has built and collected the sound effects that bring Disney films to life. Jimmy McDonald has left his tracks, his sound tracks, on nearly every Disney film. You can see and hear his story in the Disney Family Album. Disney's behind-the-scenes feature, The Reluctant Dragon, audiences got a rare chance to see Jimmy McDonald at work. As a man behind the sounds, Jimmy doesn't often get recognized.
When I've been sent out from the studio from time to time to publicize new pictures, I would come in, especially up in Canada, in some of the little towns where they do not have electronic surveillance, they'd want to know what was in here. And I'd say, well, I have bears, I have horses. And, you know, they'd look at me like, got to get a white coat for this fella. But anyway, they wanted to see it, so I would take out the lamp chimney, and they'd say, what is that? I said, this is a bear.
There's Jimmy again, playing the timpanis for Leopold Sikorsky and Fantasia. When it comes to sound effects, Jimmy McDonald is the maestro. The instruments in his orchestra are stashed in this studio storeroom.
It's as old as I am. I came here in 1935. And then I retired a few years ago, but I'm working as much, or there for a while, almost as much as when I was on staff all the time. And I love it.
Jimmy estimates he's created over 28,000 sound effects for 139 feature films and 335 cartoon shorts. This is where he stores the fire that tore through Bambi's forest.
This is just bamboo, and we use it for fire. It comes off very well for fire. We just keep twisting it.
And the wind from Winnie the Pooh's blustery day. The stories were someone else's problem. Jimmy often worked on so many cartoons at once, there wasn't even time to get acquainted.
I worked on many pictures, never knew the names of the things. I'd be down there doing the effects, and the name really wasn't important to me as it was the animators.
Like most of the first sound effects men, Jimmy started as a drummer. In the early 1930s, he played with a band aboard the Dollar Steamship Lines.
You know, I had an awful time being still about the idea of not getting ready to go on a boat or whatever. There was a certain sound to that foghorn and so forth that it was tough to settle down.
The sound of the foghorn couldn't compete with the idea of making sounds from Mickey Mouse cartoons.
I used to drive by it. The studio was on Hyperion Avenue, just off of Los Feliz Boulevard, and it had a great huge sign out in front with a big picture, a picture of Mickey. And I'll never forget my first day coming over. I was scared out of my wits. I really was. I thought, oh, big studio, Disney studio. Because we were all raised on Mickey Mouse.
Sound effects you hear in early cartoons have been used for years in live stage shows.
They had no props, not one prop here. That's why drummers were called. First place, they had the facility in their hands to do everything that was required. And it was mostly the props like pit drummers would have, the slide whistle, jew's harp, the brake drums, bulb horns, all of those gadgets these drummers had. The studio didn't have any. So after a couple of calls, I was asked if I'd like to stay and help develop a sound effects department, and I thought that was great.
As Walt Disney's cartoons got more lifelike, McDonald built customized sound props that expanded the vocabulary of the sound effects world.
Walt gave us the time to build them and go around and just build things, and anything that we wanted, we could make.
And Walt Disney liked what he heard.
We used to have to do everything at one time. And we used to have to run the cartoon. We'd have the fellas with the sound effects. We had the people with the voices. We had the orchestra going. And everybody had to synchronize and hit that thing right on the button. And we had a way of doing it, though. We had a little kind of a little beat that worked up and down. And there were so many of those beats, you know, and they were all musicians working for me. So they could follow those beats, and when it came to a certain number of beats, they would go, ah, or they would go bang, or they would go this, or they would pop one of these pop guns, you know, and it would always fit.
Disney took a special interest in a machine McDonald dreamed up to reproduce the sound of falling rain.
Well, Walt wanted to know what was in there. How was I going to get a rain sound? But I have it just loaded in there with little finishing nails, nailed all on strips, and then a couple hands full of Mexican peas. And by rotating it slowly, you'll get the rain sound. So Walt said he had to hear it when it was finished. I let him know, and he was very pleased and surprised, and so was I, because a couple weeks later, I was called to his office, and I was given a raise.
McDonald's wave machine was a look-alike cousin to the Rainmaker.
This was used very successfully for surf when the Goof was riding the surfboard so famously.
If the Disney animators could draw it, Jimmy could find a sound for it.
We had a picture called The Clock Cleaners. The duck was cleaning the spring, and the director said, oh, the spring is taking too much of a beating without talking back. I want the spring to say something.
What's the big idea? Oh, shut up. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And went on. So that, I think, is the first articulated sound that I'd ever made.
Even Disney's True Life Adventures called for an occasional solo from Jimmy.
I had to do something called Sextet from Lucia, which is one of the old, old classics, but the frogs had to creak it and croak it.
Sometimes he simply improvised the call of the wild, such as in Islands of the Sea.
Ben Sharpstein was, I think he was directing that. He said, we need a sound. We've got to have a sound for this jackass penguin. And I watched the thing, and I saw that his little chest would do this, and he'd open his mouth big. And then, a thing like that. And now, jackass penguins, whether they make a sound or not, I don't know. But this was in the picture, and that's what jackass penguins sound like.
In the McDonald Orchestra, everyday objects become the ear's delight.
They're all salvaged brake drums. I picked them up many years ago in the old wrecking yards. They were 3 inches thick with grease, sand, mud, everything. I had them sandblasted. Then I had to tune them to get the 13 notes of the chromatic scale. We've used them whenever we needed chimes and clarion, and in Snow White and special weddings and whatnot. So then I'll...
Start to the right and straight on till morning.
When there's a smile in your heart, there's no better time to start.
Think of all the joy you'll find when you leave the world behind
and bid your cares goodbye. You can fly, you can fly, you can fly, you can fly, you can fly.
We could have a wedding on New Year and just have all the chimes in town going like...
Add a BB to a balloon and you get a Captain Hook-sized headache. By combining the strange sounds of a soldering iron, a ball-peen hammer and a demagnetizer, with the hum of a cymbal, he cooked up the menacing sound of the atomic-powered submarine, the Nautilus, in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Now, in Sleeping Beauty, the prince came galloping in to save his precious little lady, and it had to be on a hard surface because it would look like the marble halls. So I'll just use this as an example, but we really used marble.
Tube thunks like a skyrocket in the rescuer.
It would go.
A feather duster flutters like a flock of hens in Lady and the Tramp. other sound props he fashioned from scratch.
And I turned this out on the lathe in my shop. And for little bugs, it's you just blow in it and work your fingers. As a result of this, when it came to Evinrude, I made a larger one. See, the name Evinrude is synonymous with the outboard motor. So it should have had some kind of a motor beating sound within it.
Evinrude, wake up! Start up the engine, boy! Send Evinrude back as soon as you need help.
For the rescuers, he built Evinrude's buzz by hand. For many other characters, he relied on his own voice. He chirped for Chip and Dale.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. My best friend.
And howled for the hound dogs in Lady and the Tramp. Jimmy's first voice work was for a character usually remembered as having no voice, Snow White's Dopey.
When Dopey had to wash his hands before Snow White would let him eat, he was horsing around with a bar of soap, threw it up in the air, and he swallowed it. Had a big scene of bubbles, so I choked and gagged and did all those sounds for Dopey. The next thing Dopey did was to cry. When Snow White died from eating that bad apple, it broke his little heart, and I just cried my heart out for Dopey. Now, they were the only two vocal sounds that Dopey made.
McDonald discovered a hidden vocal talent when Walt Disney heard a new song for Snow White.
He said, "Boy, that's a very happy song," he said. "They should be singing that." And he turned to me and said, "Jim, go down there and yodel that, will you?" Well, when Walt said yodel, you yodel.
Wayne Allwine, McDonald's successor as the Disney Studios sound effects expert, reveals Jimmy's hidden performance in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
There's a sequence in the show where Kirk Douglas pops up out of the back of the Nautilus, and he has a whole series of help me notes he's put into bottles, and he's throwing the bottles overboard, and he's humming Whale of a Tale. And I'd seen the show I don't know how many times, and one time Jimmy mentioned that was me doing the humming. And of course, I know Jim's voice so well. And the next time I saw the show, I listened, and sure enough, I could pick it out as Jimmy. But doggone, I thought it was Kirk Douglas.
Jimmy invented voices for a lot of mice. Gus and Jacques in Cinderella. He was the tipsy dormouse in Alice's Tea Party.
Twinkle, twinkle, little bat. How I wonder what you're at. Up above the world you fly. Like a tea tray in the sky.
But he didn't invent his most famous mouse voice. He inherited it from the boss.
Walt called me. I was on the stage here, and a girl called me and said, "Can you come up? Walt wants to see you." It was in the middle of the Mickey and the Beanstalk, and I went up. He said, "I can't do it anymore. I'm just too busy." So he asked me if I could do a Mickey voice, and I tried it. And he said, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good." And so he said to the fellows there, "After this, call Jim. Don't call me. I'm too bloody busy."
20, 30, 40. Boy, what a lifeline.
But what's this here? What is it? What is it?
Oh, I can't believe it.
Is it bad?
Why, it says here that you can change yourself into anything.
Sure. You want to see me? I can change myself into the darndest things. Go on.
Well, can you change into a fly?
Wayne Allwine has been the voice of Mickey Mouse since Jimmy's retirement in 1976.
Why, Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge! Why, Mr. Scrooge! Merry Christmas! Won't you come in?
It wasn't, in either case, a situation where Jimmy and I solicited the part. It was sort of given to us. It's very, very strange, though, that the succession goes from Walt to Jimmy, who was a sound effects man, to myself, who was another sound effects man. And strangely enough, it just happened to be the fellow they picked to learn Jim's job as a sound effects.
You know, there was no announcement, nothing like that. No one has made an announcement that Wayne's going to do the voice. And that's the way it was before, you know, and Walt said, "Well, here it is." And I know that one day I was doing something, and Walt came on the dialogue stage, and I was doing something, and when Walt left, he turned around to the fellas and he said, "Hey, don't forget, I do Mickey's voice, too."
Yeah.
As the heir to Jimmy McDonald's trade secrets, Allwine describes himself as the sorcerer's apprentice.
It took me 7 years working under Jimmy before I was even competent enough to get on the stage and handle a show at all. It's not a craft that's easily learned. It requires a quick mind and a lot of study.
Allwine and McDonald perform a sound effects duet. A string tied to a coffee can and an old wallet become a creaky door and squeaky footsteps. This adds up to Mickey's automobile. I'll be the exhaust, Wayne will be the motor and the horn. These are syrup pitchers, the spring and the old bulb horn. So the combination would be Mickey taking the car out for a Sunday run.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime.
By the time we were into Dumbo and some of the other pictures that had trains, we knew we were going to have to develop something along the larger scale than these little automobiles and so forth. And this was for the event of some train pictures we had coming up. The air comes in through this red hose. Here's a valve that we can control how much pressure we want. And this is divided into four pieces for one turn, which gives us... And Wayne, down here on his knees, would make the clicks of the track separately. And then we could open up this valve and really get the steam going through. And it's a very authentic sounding train. Thank you.
Casey Jr.'s coming down the track, coming down the track with a smoky stack. Hear him puffing, coming round the hill. Casey's here to thrill every Jack and Jill. Every time his funny little whistle sounds, everybody hurries to the circus ground. Time for lemonade and cracker jack. Casey Jr.'s back, Casey Jr.'s back.
So now, with guest conductor Mickey Mouse, the Jimmy McDonald Sound Effects Symphony. Time you see a Disney movie, listen closely. You'll hear a lifetime of Jimmy McDonald's work.
Oh boy, what a thing!
Even though I started out being an engineer and I fell down a manhole or it caved in and I couldn't do any walking around because of a broken leg, and I started doing this, and I've been doing it ever since. I wouldn't have changed for anything. So that's the story of my life.
Radio Camp, you just heard a documentary about Disney World movies. I hope you liked it. And this Radio Camp is Saturdays at 3:30 to 4. I was thinking of these sounds of Disney World because I visited recently. I'll see you. I don't know. I won't do both next time on Radio Camp.